Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com on this Saturday. Great to have an in-studio guest with us on this Saturday morning, a guy we boo a lot during during the regular season, Jeff Parsons. He's the head basketball coach at Weathersfield High School. Of course, he had been coaching baseball that Anawan Weathersfield co-op stepped away this year. Good morning, sir. Welcome to Lincoln Trail Conference, hostile territory in Alito. They let you in today. Good morning, sir.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming in today.
It was a great drive over, so it's glad to be here, Jimmer.
Well, let's first talk about just the Lincoln Trail Conference and some of the rivalries and participating in that. I always feel like, Mercer County and Weathersfield in basketball, and then even when you throw in the Anawan Weathersfield, Mercer County football situation, I really kind of feel from this end, Mercer County, that there's a little more on the line when we play. Is it the same for Weathersfield and AW, you think?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, and it kind of started a little bit when Coach Hutton came back and took over Mercer County, you know, and I'd known him forever, and he got that program in great shape, obviously, and it really is, you know, our kids know that when it's Merco week in football, you see a little bit different focus, and in the weight room and things like that, and at practice and things like that. So we know exactly what we're up against. Obviously, they've got great athletes, and you know, we have our good share of athletes as well, and we always know that's a good week. You don't really have to go in and do any rah-rah stuff as far as your pregame go. Not that I'm a rah-rah guy, but, you know, they know what to expect, obviously, when we're playing Merco.
The transition, though, for me seems interesting from the Anawan-Weathersfield relationship, because that's a pretty good rivalry in all other sports. When you look at the girls' basketball situation and the boys' basketball situation. So I ask you, how does that work, like in everything else, where a lot of those football kids are going toe-to-toe during the basketball season, same with the baseball kids, and then the girls' athletes as well?
Yeah.
So I still try to figure out how that dynamic works.
It's a unique situation. You know, it's kind of like the big brother, little brother. You know, you're competing against each other, but if somebody's going to pick on you, you know, the little brother, big brother's going to step up and say, hey, that's enough, you know, and that's kind of how we look at it. And it's, you know, with us at Anawan Weathersfield, it's been a great marriage, you know, and Cope's a big part of their co-op side at Anawan. And he played for me in baseball and was a great kid. And, you know, he was coached by Ryan Brown, who was my assistant at Roseville. And so it's kind of like I call Cope my grandson. So, cause, you know, I brought Brownie into coaching and Brownie coached him and things like that. So it's quite the dynamic. It really is. But we know every night, you know, and I didn't finish that other thing with baseball, you know, I saw our kids when they played Merco in baseball played really, really well, you know. And they knew going in, and you know, you talk to a Bryce Elias, kids like that that have played forever, and they're like, well, hey, we got Merco, you know, we got to turn it up a notch and, you know, with our focus and things. So that's, you know, they know that, and that stems, it starts in the fall, goes all the way through the winter into the spring, there's no question.
All right, and then the interesting component of we hear about, you know, we want the multi-sport athlete, and every school wants that, right? Now, from the co-op standpoint, where you're dealing with two different schools, two different practice locations, and then you're dealing with, you know, the other sports that play independently, like basketball, then the other sports that are basically, I think, basketball, right, and volleyball are the only sports that are non-co-ops between Anawan and Weathersfield. So you have kind of those dynamics in play. Does the co-op and the independent relationship with basketball, I mean, does that help, hinder, or, I mean, in terms of the multi-sport athlete, can you just talk about the challenge there of trying to get more multi-sport athletes as possible, dealing with some unique equations where there's co-ops and then there's not a co-op with another sport, long story short.
Right. You know, and the thing that we do, I think, that really, really helps is we do our weight room stuff together in the summer. Like, they'll go 2 days a week to Anawan, 2 days a week to Weathersfield. So all the athletes, they know if they want to lift, have to be a part of that. And our guys, it's been, you guys probably didn't hear about that, but we lost a Final Four football player, to an accident last weekend, Brett Meyer.
Yeah, we heard about that, that skateboarding mishap.
The amount of Weathersfield kids, amount of Anawan kids, you know, that were friends with him, it was just crazy. And that's the way it is now. I mean, like, you know, I went to track meet last night and Ben Burch gives me a big hug. You know, that's just how it is. But, you know, when we played basketball against each other, it was, you know, it was a situation where, hey, we want to beat you guys. That's the way they are, too. You know, it's we want to take care of business. We want to beat you. But yet when it's over, we're really good friends. And those kids are. I mean, it's been a great marriage from our end. It really has. It started in 2006, and we have absolutely zero complaints. The transportation and things like that has always been good. Communication between the administration has been great. Coaching, obviously, we're taking a coaching trip Memorial Day weekend with the Anawan and the Weathersfield coaches. You know, not all of them can go, but we started that last year. And they love it. They love the camaraderie. The kids love it, and it's great. But as far as, you know, when you step on the basketball floor, you know, we were playing Anawan, I mean, and with Owen and Ben and Shawzer and those kids, they want to, that's a special group for Anawan, but they'll be the first to try to want to kick your tail. And as opposed to, you know, they're not taking it easy on their buddies at Weathersfield, I can tell you that. So it's all bragging rights because they spend, you know, when they play individually, they spend all spring and fall bragging about who did better during the season. And the girls are the same way. And, you know, our softball team, Burke's done a great job with them. Obviously, they're 11-1 in conference and haven't been that way since I can remember. And he's obviously a good coach. He does a great job. And those girls get along well. And, you know, it's a good marriage.
All right. So I'm curious when we talk about, like, the status of the Lincoln Trail Conference. And I'll preface my remarks that I believe still today that Mercer County should be in a relationship with Rock Ridge, Sherrard, and Orion. Now, I'm not disrespecting, because people will say, well, it always boils down to, well, you saying the Lincoln Trail Conference isn't any good? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying the relationship of our contiguous school districts that we should be participating against, because we're participating against them in youth and junior high and then go away from them. It has nothing to do with the level of competition, because Weathersfield and the Starks and the Anawans have been just as challenging for Mercer County to beat than any of the other schools I've mentioned, even maybe more so. But I'm trying to figure out, how has the Lincoln Trail Conference avoided all of this conference affiliation fluctuation? I mean, it's been a pretty stable conference over the last 15 years. How is that happening?
Well, I think that, first of all, it comes from the admins, and I think it's the pride of the Lincoln Trail. I really do. I think it's one of the best small school conferences in the state. I don't think it gets enough credit. I mean, we're not just talking about football. I mean, I think that, you know, you look at band, you look at other stuff like this, Scholastic. I mean, it's really good in everything we do, and it's got to do with the coaches, the sponsors, the teachers, and, you know, a lot of people want the small town atmosphere. I mean, you know, schools like Anawan and Weathersfield and Mercer County, you see kids that come from bigger cities, you know, to come to a smaller school to get that, you know, atmosphere. And, you know, I was talking to my college buddy, his son goes to Dunlap, and, you know, he's watching us play baseball. He's like, man, he says, this is just, you know, my son might get cut, but he says, I feel like he can play here. You know, he's good, but mm-hmm. Is he good enough to play at Dunlap? You know, and you look at that, and, you know, I don't know what the situation with the Metcalf kid is when he came in. I mean, he's, you know, an honorable mention all-state player, you know, all first-team all-conference. Does he do that, you know, up in the big schools? Maybe. I don't know. He's pretty talented, but, you know, it just gives people a chance to participate at a level. And I think, and I hate to be vague about that, but it's the admins, it's the, you know, they meet every 3 months, mm-hmm. and what can we do to make this conference better? And, you know, we try to promote it on social media with our conference standings and things like that, so it gets a little bit more pub. But I just think it's a great conference. You know, how's it survived? I mean, you know, we've needed a little help from Prairie Land in football, obviously, with playing some crossover games and things like that. So, you know, it stood the test of time. I really believe that.
All right. 1985 grad from Williamsfield, right?
So yeah, we didn't have to say that, but that means I'm old.
You played for Bob Anderson. Now, I like to talk a lot in these conversations. We get off the beaten path a little bit here about kind of culture and how things have changed. All right, so 85 grad of Williamsfield. And I know I had Jason Danner in here a couple months ago and talk about some of the old days of like bi-county stuff and things of that nature. Did you ever envision when, you know, you go back to 1985, Biltown Bombers. Did you ever think in your life that in 2015 or 2016, whenever the first year was, that there wouldn't be a Williamsfield basketball team? It'd be the Rova Williamsfield Cougars.
Yeah, you know, no, because, in fact, I was in such disbelief. I went to the last basketball game. It was on a Thursday night. I got out of practice and went to it. It was at Williamsfield, and they played Princeville, you know, of course, I could not scout, but anyway, yeah, I didn't ever think that would happen. I mean, and, you know, I had a conversation with Coach Anderson, you know, that night they named the gym after him. He didn't know it. And I said, Coach, you know, and after the season got over and he didn't know if he wanted to go into coaching in that co-op and get on a bus and do all this stuff at his age. And I said, Coach, now's a good time for you to get out, isn't it? And he's like, he goes, Jeff, he says, what do you want me to do? He says, my passion is basketball. My hobby's basketball. My friends all rove around basketball. You know, what do you want me to do? Sit in my easy chair and die? And he says, if I'm not coaching it, I'm watching it. And you know, he's a big Celtic fan. And
yeah.
So, and I said, Coach, you're right. He's always been right, it seems like. And, you know, you don't think about Williamsfield basketball without Coach Anderson and the things that I do in practice to this day. And he, you know, he's got quite a coaching tree, and he's an amazing guy. He's an amazing coach. And I mean, he's forgotten more about basketball than most guys know, because he just studies mm-hmm. it every day.
But in terms of the culture, though, I understand why the move had to be made, right? I mean, you understand why the co-op has
Absolutely.
To be made. But then there's some sadness to it, because you realize that those days are gone. I mean, you can talk about the Aledo-Westmer situation. You can go down Bi-County Way, and, well, where you used to coach Roseville, now part of Monmouth-Roseville, and all the schools that dot West Central Illinois that are now part of consolidations are co-ops.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big change for basically guys of your age group that have to grasp and accept, but still also be a little reflective of, you know, these are days gone by. And I don't know, and this is an issue, I don't know if that's good or bad for the interest of the game of interscholastic sports.
Well, the only thing it does, you know, especially with co-ops, is your numbers have a tendency to go down, because kids, you know, we're in an immediate gratification era, and kids want to know they can play. And in a co-op situation, they're like, well, this kid from that school and this kid from that school, you know, is, if he plays, you know, I won't be able to play, so I'm not going to go out. So therefore, it does hurt your numbers a little bit, you know, whereas if it was just a Williamsfield or just a Rova, those kids might say, hey, I'm going to go out, but yet they haven't worked on their game forever, and, you know, what would be the quality of play? But yeah, the culture is, it's really changing, you know, and that's what we talk to our kids about. It's you know, we're not Anawan kids. We're not Wethersfield kids. We're Titans, and that's the way you have to treat it, you know, and they do the same thing. In fact, Coach Anderson was behind that, you know, which would be surprising, you know, because he's been the Williamsfield coach since I was in fifth grade, and I'm 51, so he's been at it a while. And, you know, he was behind that because he just didn't see the numbers coming up from Williamsfield that, you know, to the point where they weren't going to be able to host a JV program, knowing that wouldn't be any, you can't just have a varsity, oh, I'm going to start five freshmen this year or four freshmen this year at the varsity level and try to compete. You know, you got to get them ready, you know, and then therefore he did what was best, what he thought for Williamsfield. But yeah, it sure did change the culture.
All right. I tell you one of the great, you know, I've been fortunate to do this since 1990. So one of the great memories I have of Coach Anderson just happened a couple years ago. And I can't remember if it was the LTC tournament over there a couple of years, or maybe it was just a regular season game.
2 years ago, okay. It was at Rova, yep.
Well, I remember I went over there, and I was going to tape a pregame interview with them. You like doing pregame interviews with me or not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, man. So I go in, there's – it's a – I don't know what – it's not a teacher's lounge. Maybe it's like a coaching office. And you know how today's digital technology is, you know, iPads or whatever. So he's in this room with these assistant coaches, two or three of them or four of them. And there are these, like, yellow legal pads spread out everywhere. I'm like, amen, man. That's how it should be. You know what I'm saying? I miss the old school stuff where I'm like, I didn't have my camera with me because I'd like, I need to take a picture of this, like, basketball savant with his weird legal pads and all kinds of things scribbled on him, and you're like, what? But there's a rationale behind it, because when he coaches, I mean, but it's just like, it's that type of stuff. And for the nuances of the game are so important to me that as I've gone along doing this is the personality and the feel of the game and the nuances of the game is how you kind of can appreciate the poetry of it is what I say. I'm to the point. I know coaching, it's about winning and losing. I get that, but I'm to the point where approaching this for me now, at where I'm at in my career, I'm not so much interested with the wins. I'm more interested in the, as I say, the poetry of interscholastic athletics, if you see what I mean.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's got. I mean, he carries that notebook around, and anytime he could be randomly somewhere, and if he has a thought, he'll write something down, and it's like, hey, I want to try this. Going to a clinic, I went to many clinics with him, and it's he is always, you know, if you just pick up just one thing, he's always trying to learn, and he's been a student of the game. It's unbelievable, and what he does, and yeah, he writes everything down, and to the point where I do too. You know, you see all the other coaches are. They're on their iPads, they're on their phones, yeah. They're writing stuff down. I'm still writing stuff down, but, you know, obviously I've developed a little bit of usage with the iPad and phones and smartphones and stuff like that, so I know enough about them to be dangerous.
Well, I wish I would have known he was a Celtics fan, because you know the story about the Aledo girl, Adelit, that would be Anthony Ruggles and Jaden Delit and Jacob Delit's aunt. Is married to Jamie Young, a Boston Celtics assistant coach. Did you know that?
I did not know
that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And he was back. It would have been Train and Jaden's junior year for the regional, because we hosted it here at Mercer County. He was because of the NBA All-Star break, so he's back for that.
Sure.
Yeah,
awesome.
So that's the great.
He's learning under who I think is probably the best coach in the NBA, Brad Stevens. That's awesome.
All right, so we're talking about Bill Anderson. Or, excuse me, Bob Anderson and the Billtown Bombers, and we know about the great 1997 story when they beat Allman and advanced to state in the two-class system. So here's a perfect segue for you. Now, I'm asking, because everybody thinks this is just basketball two-class, but I'm talking about the expansion from two classes to four classes, four boys and girls basketball, four baseball, four softball, four volleyball. Yay or nay? You like the four class, or do you think the game needs to go back to a two class, which it probably never will, but have when we look at this debate over state tournament attendance, everybody says two class. I think that's part of it, but I think there are way more factors in play of why the attendance is not what it is, because I think one of the primary reasons is the overlap of sports, because you want multi-sport athletes. So what happens if your team is eliminated in boys basketball? Well, you're hopefully a baseball player or you're a track athlete and you have practice and you can't go, right?
Right, absolutely.
And then if you're a younger kid, right, if you're a seventh grader, eighth grader, sixth grader, fifth grader, what are you doing on the weekend still? You're playing youth basketball tournaments.
Yeah.
somewhere.
Or traveling baseball, they start.
Yeah,
that
that's right. And then the Duke class has something to do with it. And I truly believe the conference college basketball tournaments have become so large in here in the Big Ten area, but Missouri Valley Conference for downstate Illinois, and then the preliminary tournament round games for the NCAA tournament. I think those are all factors in play for the decline of the attendance in boys basketball, which gets a lot of the attention.
Right.
But I ask you, four class, two class, what's your thought on that?
My obviously, with me being an old guy, I like the two-class system. That's what I grew up with. That was our – when I played for him in 85, you know, we got beaten a sectional championship that year, and our goal was to get to Champaign. I mean, what a cool deal.
Who did you lose to in 85, by the way?
We lost to Princeville. Okay. They went to state and got beat by Providence St. Mel. Probably the best
with
class.
With Hamilton
team.
And
yeah.
Fernando Bunch.
I was trying to figure out how I was going to guard Bunch.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
Princeville
absolutely.
Played them?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah, they beat every team by 30.
So, like,
year.
Who would have been on the Princeville – team
then. The Kraft guy was 6'7". They had Garth.
Now, was his son then that played a couple
that was
years?
His nephew.
Nephew, okay.
Yeah. Man, he was real good too. But then they had the Yes kid that went to Illinois Wesleyan, and they were really, really good. We got beat by him in the sectional final. It was crazy because, you know, we were in the conference, we always played him, and stuff like that. Then you know, They won the beat Dakota in the super and went to state, and then of course St. Mel beat everybody by 30 that year. They were the best class A team ever. When their sixth man was all state, that was crazy back then. But
so two class, you're still a believer.
I am, but you know, as a basketball coach at Weathersfield High School, you know, if I'm living in the present, the four class system has been good for us.
Yeah, but your team this year good enough to play against most of the 2A teams I saw.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I agree. You know,
I mean, the good teams I've seen you've had, I mean, and same with Anawana, they're just as good as all the 2A teams I did this year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this area. And see, the thing that we talk about, like, the, you know, why don't more people come to games? And I think because I was split on the subsectional format. And I truly believe the traditional regional format, because I understand those years where you have really good teams, you're like, should they really be playing in that early round of the tournament? And I know that's tough. That would have been tougher at Weathersfield and Anawan to play in a regional championship game. But, you know, interest for the game locally, to me, I just think that kind of outweighs...
Right.
You know, playing that game at a sectional complex in wherever, in Hanover River Ridge, instead of playing it, you know, maybe at Alwood High School or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the difference, I think, in crowds, is because you have two sectional finals that night in the small school where you used to have one. You know, like when we played back in the day, when we played at Abingdon, we played Princeville in the sectional final, and I remember getting off the bus – and they were already lined up at the door to get in. We couldn't even hardly get in the gym. They had to make a path for us because people were lined up to get in rows of three. I mean, we couldn't hardly get off the bus. I mean, and now, you know, like the crowd that Anawan had at Galva that night wasn't very good, and that was at Galva, you know, and they played Princeville. And then we go to Midland, you know, drove an hour to play a regional final against Depew, who drove 40-some minutes. And
that's a regional.
Yeah. And that's not a regional. That would be a sectional, you know. But we had a great crowd. They had a great crowd. We had a great crowd, surprisingly, and to drive that far. But, you know, if it would have been us and Anawan at Midland or at Galva, I mean, it would have been at Galva, it would have been standing room only. They'd had to close the doors at 6:30 probably because there wouldn't have been enough seats.
And that's just not an example for you, but I just think that's an example for everyone. It is the traditional regionals. You're really losing something by not having that, because one, it's tough for the fan to understand what's going on. Like with the subsectional seating, it's like, well, what does that mean? Well, it means basically it's still two regional sites among 12 or 13 teams. You got to explain it to them. The top four top four subsectional seeds get split up, and two go one direction, two go the other direction, and then if one is the host, they get to be at their home site. The other one then has to go wherever. And that's where the big problem comes into play. But that's not just a basketball. People talk about that being basketball issue. But I tell you, it hurts. I think it hurts the other sports more, the baseball and softball situations where, you know, those in terms of the subsectional seating, how it works, and then how the sectional complexes and some of those subsectionals are divided. Like this year, for example, I saw in softball, Orion and Sherrard are in completely different sectional complexes than Rock Ridge, who is a host. So Orion and Sherrard, I forget, they got to go to like Mendota or something like that. And then there's a regional at Rock Ridge in terms of maybe those sports that don't get the attention that basketball and football do, they're going to get less attention with subsection, with postseason assignments and postseason setups like that, if you see what I mean. Oh, yeah. Same for volleyball.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hurt, you know. And I mean, you know, when we made our runs, and of course, Mirko was in on that with baseball, but, you know, it was at Monmouth College. That's a good thing. And, you know, I had good crowds there. You know, like our volleyball team the last couple of years, we've went to Hartsburg, which is an hour and 15 minutes. We've went to, you know, El Paso. I mean, just off the grid, you know, and here in can't be any close to do that stuff. But I understand it, you know, and from a coaching standpoint, I was glad we went to Midland. You know, not that we wanted to play the number two team in the state. We had to play number two or number three either or, so it didn't matter. But it was nice that Anawan and us could both get into a sectional, obviously.
All right, talking with Jeff Parsons, the head basketball coach at Weathersfield, had been the head baseball coach of the Anawan Weathersfield co-op, and he is the official highly paid digital media coordinator for the Lincoln Trail Conference, but it's all deferred compensation. He'll get it 50 years from today. So we want to talk about that. We'll talk about a lot of other stuff as we're rolling along here on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. All right, Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. Good to have Jeff Parsons with us on the WRMJ Sports Line. Of course, the head basketball coach at Weathersfield at one time, also the baseball coach of the Anawan Weathersfield Co-op. And we talk about how challenging it is for, you know, kids to be multi-sport athletes. I always look at, I don't know how you can coach two varsity sports at once, specifically back to back. And I know I used to ask Tim Engelbretson about that. He, you know, when he coached at Warren back in the day, he coached basketball and football. And just the transition. And then, you know, it's not really when you're saying it's just basketball and baseball season, because you got to throw in the summer. So that's the unofficial, basically, third season you're coaching. So how did you do that? And I guess a perfect segue, how challenge, it's easy for us to say we want multi-sport athletes, but it's a completely different other thing trying to understand the concept of how fair is it sometimes to ask those kids to be multi-sport athletes when what is expected of them of each sport. So first, we'll go with how did you fairly do it, both able to give enough to both sports going back to back? And you did baseball and basketball how long?
12 years.
Oh, my gosh.
06 to 2018. So actually 11, but this would have been 12. But anyway, it's first thing you got to do is you have to have great administration. I've said that twice already, but, you know, Jer's a Sherrard guy, and Shane's been at Sherrard for a while, and now he's our soup. And we have great, you know, we had Joe Burrish up there in Anawan. He's since retired, but great admin is first things first. I mean, it's hard to manage two varsity sports because you feel like you're short in one over the other. But the summers were the busiest. You know, I'd have my June schedule, and every day there was something going on, whether it was a basketball game, practice, camp, baseball game, practice, you know, something. So we just had to check the schedule that morning and find out where I was going. But you have to be organized. You have to have great assistants. You know, I had Matt Clark and Jared Hipp and my longtime basketball guys. And now I've got Tyler Litton, who played for me, and, you know, that's great. Logan's been my baseball assistant, head man.
And by the way, Tyler Litton helped me up when I fell down the steps at United. So
nobody talked about that, Jim. We weren't going to talk about that because I've done that numerous times. You know, we're in so many gyms that sometimes you miss a step. Yeah. We just don't talk about it. I felt bad. I was glad you're okay. Yeah. I'm glad you were such a great athlete that I knew you weren't hurt.
Yeah, right. Just my huge ego that I have. So you get all that help. So that's one way to do it. But, you know, there's a reason, I guess, a lot of guys and girls don't coach two sports in one school year.
You have to be organized, you know, and honestly, and I tell people this all the time, too.
I'm talking about, like, I know there are assistant situations, but head coach is kind of a completely different animal. Head varsity coach compared to JV coach. I'm not taking anything away from that.
Right, absolutely.
The head coach, head varsity coach of two sports.
It's, you know, it's more managing, you know, especially with baseball. You know, you're more managing, you know, the game pretty well takes care of itself, you know, but the X's and O's and all that stuff, you're doing more managing, you know, and it's constant. It's not, you know, there's no break or, you know, it's everything you do is constant. And, you know, like I said, it takes great assistance and you just have to manage your time well. You know, you may have to come home from baseball practice and you might have to put your camp form together because it goes out the next day or things like that. So, I mean, it's, when it says it takes a whole community to raise a child, it really does take a whole community to coach. And, you know, I'm in a great spot. I really am. And I know that's why Logan's been there as long as he has and Brandon's been there as long as he has. It's a great place to be. And that's the first and foremost, because I don't think you could do that in every school. I really don't. You know, I think it would be, you know, coaching the same kids over and over again. Oh, you know, here comes another one of his rants, you know, because they've seen it. And, but you know, that hasn't really, has rarely happened. So, you know, you're dealing with the same kids. And I'd be honest with you, I would have stayed with baseball, but Logan was such a good young mind and a good young coach. I didn't want to stunt his growth. That was part of my decision. You know, the batteries don't recharge like they used to. And, you know, at my age, and, you know, he's such a good coach. I didn't want to stunt his growth. And he's, you know, getting married this June to a Weathersfield girl. And, you know, hopefully we can keep him around a while. I know he has aspirations to, you know, to maybe be a head football coach someday. And it may happen here. We have no idea, you know, here is in Weathersfield. So,
well, he's proud to call him a local boy. I mean, we had him on a couple weeks ago paying tribute to, Coach Welter, which was, his sharing the memories of that was awesome. All right, multi-sport athletes. I don't know how to phrase this question because I hear it across the line all the time about, you know, multi-sport athletes. See a lot of coaches on social media, you know, retweeting different things about we need, you know, multi-sport athletes. This is why it's important. But then sometimes I sit there and I call bull crap on that a little bit because I say, well, what are you doing to promote that for the student athlete? I don't know if it's fair to say to make that easier for them. Maybe that's not the right term, but to make the equation work, if you see what I mean. Because it's easy to say we want multi-sport athletes, but it's a completely another thing to say, well, what are you doing as a coach to make that happen? Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
And I just, you know, the equation of trying to make that work, I guess that's fair for the kid understanding his schedule, understanding his commitment, understanding the mentality of how he has to weigh or she has to weigh the choice that they have to make in the off season.
Right.
Choosing what you're, because there always comes to a point where you choose one over the other, and coaches will say, yeah, I understand that. But then from the mentality standpoint, the kid's still thinking, well, how is this going to impact me down the road if I'm choosing one over the other in this situation?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the best thing we did over at our place, we started an early bird PE program from 7 to 7:45, and you know, we have all our athletes in there, volleyball players, basketball, football, and we do weights, agility and stuff, and we work on sports specific things during the week. And Brandon and I teach that, the football coach and I teach that, and I was basketball and baseball. So, you know, we have impact now from Logan and our track coach, Carl Anderson, stuff like that. So we set that up specifically for the multi-sport athlete. So that gives them an advantage, you know, so they don't have to come in at 7 at night after they get back from a baseball game to lift for football because they're doing that in the morning. And so we, you know, I can't speak for all schools. I just know where I'm at. But we work everything around the multi-sport athlete. That's the first thing we think of. Summer-wise, we sit down in the spring, and we've already kind of done that a little bit, and we put our schedules together. You know, the first time we did this, we started this program in 2013, and it was a great thing for us. I mean, we've always had good teams, but I really think we've taken the next step, you know, as a co-op and as single schools in Anawan and Wethersfield. But we gear everything towards them. And then in the summer, the first year we did it, we had a schedule down, and every day in June, if you were a three-sport athlete, you had something going Saturday, Monday through Sunday for four straight weeks. Mm-hmm. And then July, you kind of focused a little bit on football camps and stuff, and then pretty soon they weren't getting a break. So, you know, and then we're making long football runs. We're starting to see a little burnout as they go from football to basketball and basketball to baseball. You know, we kind of had some teams in baseball I thought this should have been a little bit better, and they were the last couple, 3 years. But they had went so long and deep in the playoffs, they had a little burnout factor. And you think, well, you know, back when we did it, there wasn't anything else to do. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a million things for kids to do these days. Back then it wasn't, you know. And so what we do is try to gear that. We've actually – in the summer, they went from 5 days a week to 3 days a week lifting and with football. And we've toned our camp stuff back to like 6-7 days instead of 10 to 15, you know. And we used to, when I first got to Wethersfield, we played 40 games in the summer with basketball. We barely get 19 now, which, you know, we built in days off. And, you know, that seems, the athlete seems to respond to that. So everything we do is multi-sport sport culture. Now, why do we do that? Because the coaches are working together, the parents are working together, and in a small school like we're at, you know, the football team's going to be 1A next year, so you've got to have most every kid that has an interest in athletics to be a part of that, you know, and it's crazy. It's a vicious cycle at times.
Well, and the criticism that I hear a lot in strength and conditioning is when you try to get the multi-sport athletes, you hear a little resistance. Well, you're saying strength and conditioning, Taylor, but it's just for football.
That's not right. No, we.
Well, and see, that's
I know,
that's
but
the perception out there.
Yeah,
is,
it is,
and that's where people will say, well, yeah, that's just a benefit for the football program, and that's all you guys care about is football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've heard that too as well. But, you know, we try to be good, and we tell the kids that all the time, you know, and there's been articles in the paper and stuff about it. We try to be good in every sport. We don't want to just be a football school. We don't want to just be a basketball school.
But,
you know?
But that's always the criticism. I'm not an expert on strength and conditioning, but I believe that should be the main part of the summer component as it relates to benefiting all athletic programs and get away from a lot of the other subsidiary stuff. And I'm always amazed at the culture of the summer when I talk to a lot of coaches. They don't want to do it. They feel, you know, do we really need to do it? But basically, the default is always, well, I'm doing it because, you know, these other schools
right
are doing it. And it always amazes me about, you know, the you know, when I remember it was basically everybody I've talked to, they say, well, we need to cut these contact days down, which are 25, but that equates to 50 for multi-sport athletes, basically, if you want to look
absolutely
at it. So they had the one IHSA bylaw amendment to reduce it to 20. Okay, so 5 days, right?
Yeah.
And it failed, like, miserably. And, like, everybody talks about that. But I sometimes I look at it and say, you know, they talk about these dead periods, too. You know, I think maybe we're at a point where it would behoove us to say dead period for a month. That means you can't go to the school for nothing. Open gyms, weightlifting, nothing. It's dead for a month from July 14th to whatever the first day of football practice is or the first day of fall sports. That you ain't touching them. You ain't getting nothing. There's no, we ain't open the gym. The school is locked for a month. I mean, is that something that should be looked at? That you can't do anything, nothing for a month. It is a dead period. You can't have one contact, basically one communication between coach and player and student athlete. I look at that sometimes and I wonder, can something that drastic, which doesn't sound to me like it's that drastic, but it is in today's culture. I mean, could something like that ever be done?
I think it could. You know, will it? I don't know. You know, I think, you know, kids, the ones that are serious about sports would never want to be away from it. You know,
but,
like.
But I mean, that's the thing where we, this is where we would get off the beaten path here and talk for another 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Parsons, right? Because yesterday, or I'll tell you a story. This is a segue here. I was almost going to pull over. I was going to, what was I doing yesterday? I was heading south of town. I can't even remember what I was doing. Going to music. Music event at Macomb for my daughter, Tatum. And I was going 94 south toward Monmouth. And I got by the great little town of Little York.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Little York. And there's that little ball diamond on the right. And there was a kid. There's a, just south of the ball diamond, there's a little cement basketball court. Maybe like 20 by 20, something like that. And he's out there playing. Like, he was playing, man. He's like, you know, playing ball.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what? Wait a minute, what? There's a kid, and it's a windy day, and he's out there playing. And I said,
it wasn't on his phone.
No, I'm like, I almost thought, I said, I'm going to, because I was, everywhere I go, I take my digital recorder. With my microphone, because there's always a story somewhere.
Sure.
But I was in a rush to get to my daughter's event. I was almost going to turn around and get out of my car and go interview that kid and say, why are you out here?
You know, yeah.
So you say, so we couldn't do that for a month because kids want to still do stuff. And this is, and I'm part of the problem, I admit it, okay, because I condition my kids. Started playing travel youth basketball in third grade, but he was conditioned to say, well, I'm only going to play, you know, in the gym, and got to be a clock running, there got to be officials, and you got to come see me play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So kids can still do that for a month. You know, there's all these hoops I see everywhere, on every town, and nobody plays everywhere. And I told Ryan Winkler before, one of my ideas, and you need to get with Winkler, I want to do a summer shootout at an outdoor court. I want to do that sometime. Like, have a true playground outside summer shootout and have it basically like you and I in the mid-80s, where you had to call your own fouls. Now, kids would say, what?
What?
How do you do that? But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you can do anything for that month,
right,
on your own, to and basically work on your game on your own, whatever the sport is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there are some circumstances where, yeah, you probably need the expertise of a coach. But I'm sorry, man, some of the stuff you can do on your own for a month if you're really worried about that. And if you're a multi-sport athlete, dude, you need to take that month off.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need a whole month off.
I think that would work.
So that was my sorry about that, but you take it away from there.
I think it would go a long ways from, you know, the burnout factor because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we just went. But, I mean, there wasn't that much to do, you know. We thought we were a big deal when I was growing up. We played summer league basketball once a week, you know, and we lifted twice a week. Well, we thought we were pretty big deals, but, I mean, we were okay. So I'm sure we could go back to that. But, you know, that's the thing that a lot of coaches look at. They're like, you know, I don't really want to do what our summer does, but if you fall behind, it's not the kids' fault.
I get that. I understand that.
But yeah,
the
buck
stops with the head coach.
You know, and if you're not doing it, and that's why we host all what we do, and so our kids don't have to travel and things like that. But as far as taking a month off, I think, you know, honestly, I think it'd be great because I grew up in an era where you did have some time off. You did have time to be a kid. You know, with all these travel baseball and travel basketball, you know, even my daughter, she played when she was in third grade. She was volleyballing. She was AAU and in volleyball,
yeah, and
basketball.
All of the kids in today's culture are
there's
that
no,
way.
Yeah, and they're playing volleyball. They're going to softball practice that day. They have a game. you know, they start volleyball. You know, there was volleyball tournaments during regional basketball week. And they're going to it.
And that's the other thing where at the youth level has created, and I'm not picking on youth, but I'm saying that's created my big issue is the overlap from sports, is the off-season sport impeding on the in-season sport by whatever that off-season sport is, the commitment they're having during another in-season. I think that's a huge hindrance for small schools. And that's why kids can't, you know, I harp on this all the time, why kids can't be multi-sport athletes, because they're multi-season athletes. And that equates to the same thing for me. They're just playing the same sport. If you're a club volleyballer, you're playing the regular volleyball season, you're going club, you're playing summer volleyball. So you're a three-season volleyball player, a.k.a. any other sport is that type of situation. And that creates, to me, a huge challenge for a lot of the coaches. But the genie's out of the bottle, and I don't know how you get it back in. Right. Because all the sports aren't going to give up their off-season stuff. They just won't do it. And that hurts. I don't care what anybody says. That hurts the in-season sport, because we're, again, to that situation where that kid feels the mental part of it, he has to go to the off-season stuff during his in-season of the other sport. And I think that can be a little bit of a that can hurt that in-season sport. You know, if you see what I'm saying? Not only with participation by maybe not the kid not playing because he wants to choose working out for the off-season sport at that time, but then his attention goes, if he's playing an in-season sport, his attention goes to that off-season sport, and you may be hurt a little bit by that, too, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But the genie's out of the bottle on that, and I don't know how you get it back in.
Well, and that's the thing, too. If we decided, let's say I decided, okay, I'm only doing a week of basketball in June or something, then, you know, there might be a chance the other coaches will be like, oh, I see they're not doing that, so I'm going to grab them, and we're going to do this. So, you know, a mandatory time off would probably be a good thing. You know, it's you know, we feel like as coaches we have to work the kids so they don't fall behind, because if they fall behind, it's not their fault. It's our fault for not working them, you know. But what's the fine line? I agree. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know. And that's why we as coaches over at our place have scaled back the last couple of years, which is totally unheard of, you know. And we use the expressions, we hope that less is more, and it's worked out.
I think it's true. But I mean, it's tough to, it's easy to say that, but it's so hard to do that. But again, you know, you're talking about June. I talk about during the school year.
Oh, yeah.
When seasons are in, the in-season sport, there's off-season stuff going on during the school year. I say that's a huge issue. I don't know what the answer is, because everybody does it in every sport. But that has a lot to do a little bit with some of the participation stuff and some other things as well. I forgot to ask you, by the way, as we're running out of time here, family. Big part of this, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't do all this unless you have, you know, the support at home, the support from the children. But, you know, the one thing... You know, my kids are conditioned to it because they grew up knew I broadcast games, so they think that's what life is, that you go to games. That's part of it, but I'm fortunate because my wife accepts my job, and she likes interscholastic athletics. So I would assume your lovely wife has accepted that fact, too. But, you know, it can be tough on relationships, too. People don't understand that, well, do you really have to do this game tonight, Jim? Well, yeah, it's my job. And it's like, honey, Jeff, do you really need to go scout? I'll use two old schools, Winola and Roseville tonight, or, or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, I played Winola in high school. Yeah. Come on now, I'm old.
So, I mean, I mean, there's a lot of...
Yeah, Kel has been, she's amazing. She, in fact, we call them date nights during the winter. We'll go scout.
Yeah,
you see that on Twitter.
You're such a nice guy.
And you tweeted at me one night, it's like, popcorn for supper. you're such a romantic guy, you know.
It's like Dan Pearson always, I laugh at him. He'll go on some of the assignments for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and he's got the camera, and there's his wife taking the notes during the game. I'm like, man, you're a big spender there, Pearson.
Absolutely. If she's real lucky, she'll get taco in a bag, but that's just hit and miss.
Yeah.
But no, she's amazing. She actually does my book in basketball, you know. And
oh,
then
really? So she awesome,
yeah, absolutely.
Man.
She, I call her my administrative secretary. It doesn't pay very well, but, you know, she always did that too. And, you know, she's very smart at what she does. She works hard too. She's a special ed coordinator and Bureau Marshal in Putnam Counties. And, so she travels a lot, but she loves it. And she's been doing my book for probably 10 years. And, you know, the kids, that's what we come home from Christmas. You know, we wrap around the Erie tournament and we all meet there. And
that's,
you
like,
know,
that's like my family.
Yeah. It's like, where are you guys going to be?
Know.
We're not going to be at home. We're going to be in Erie. So
I don't know,
we were going to have our family get together in the hospitality room, which is great because it's one of the best ones in the state. So
yeah, I don't know if that's like true sadness or true joy when you're,
yeah,
when your life,
yeah, we don't have any, you know, we don't get together much. We do. It's usually on a baseball field, basketball court, yeah, or something like that.
All right. So yeah, it's awesome. And you've got two great kids too. No question about that. And the other thing before we wrap up, I harp on this a lot of times too. The primary sports always get a lot of attention, football and basketball right now, right? But a lot of times the other sports don't get as much attention. And I'm talking about like what the standings are, things of that nature. I think it's so awesome that you devote a lot of, it's deferred compensation. You're never going to get paid, right? I joke about that. I mean, it's I call it a labor of love or whatever, that you run the LTC website, update all the standings for all the sports, varsity and JV. And, you know, talking about growing the game, promoting the game, especially with this stupid conference affiliation that every year some school leaves another conference, and then you have these weird conference alignments, and so it's impossible to know who's in your conference, and that's one thing. That's just one question. And then the other question is, what are the standings?
Yeah.
And I think that's how you grow interest a little bit, is so people understand who you're playing, one, and understand what's its situation in the conference. Because one of my favorite stories this year, I was doing Sherrard St. Bede in football in the fall, and Sherrard's actually in the same conference as St. Bede, same division in the track, the Mississippi, which is the big school division. And there's two radio stations that cover Peru St. Bede, and I'm sitting in the middle of both of them. And the one guy goes, "What's the nickname of Sherrard?" That's where we are in conference,
yeah,
affiliation.
Wow.
I wanted to tell him, it's the Jets.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm saying that's part of the problem, yeah, of trying to grow the game and grow the interest in not even knowing the name of a nickname of, I'll call it a pseudo-conference rival.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. But then what are the standings? Now, you probably can get them for football. And even basketball is a little bit challenging to get sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I'm so thankful that you really deserve a pat on the back, because I say, you know, conferences need clearinghouses, especially more so today than any other time, to promote their conference and their sport. And the way you do that is doing something what you're doing, and even maybe even devoting a minimal amount of financial resources to do it. So I applaud you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. It's a little easier in football. You know, you can always, you know, check Twitter, see what scores are going on, or tweet stuff. Basketball is good because I'm involved. I've got all the coaches contact. But, you know, baseball and softball are really, really challenging because even when I was coaching, you know, because, you know, you don't know when these games are made out. You don't know if they're rained out, snowed out, you know, this spring anyway. But, you know, we think that it actually started by Kathy Hassan, you know, when she was
Katie Hassan, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
She was on here a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and started that. And then Jason Danner, who he had on, picked it up. And so, of course, when he left, so I go to the LTC meeting in the spring. This is probably 10 years ago. And I go, "What happened to the LTC website? I thought that was cool." "Well, we don't have anybody to do it. Jeff, will you do it?" And I'm like, "Oh, my Lord." So, of course, I had to get all the information from them and get it done. And we actually brought it into the 21st century because the way I was uploading it when I first started it was like pure dial-up internet. And it was – you didn't know if it was going or not.
Days.
Yeah, oh, my Lord. So it was bad. But anyway, now we've got it on Google Sheets, and I'm working on trying to clean it up, but we transferred it and didn't want to lose all the history because there's champions.
I still like the antiquated look of it. I'm sorry. It's old school look. It's got the feel to it, man.
Yeah, it looks ugly at times. You know, it's got all the champions on there, so there's only so much we can do.
Yeah.
You know, unless we go in there one by one.
It's 1,000 times more than anybody else is doing, but as we wrap up, I always think it's always funny. It's like, you know, I'll give you an example from Parsons in the fall. I'll get like a message. He's like, "Hey, Taylor." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Hey, you got the West Central Mirko JV volleyball score,"
which could be found nowhere.
Let me run down to Biggsville. I'll go get that. But, I mean, it's that type of stuff that goes into it. So I applaud you for that. And I really thank you for coming in today. I really had a lot of fun. And like I say, these conversations are just like a beginning point. And I say there's so much more to talk about. But I always tell people, too, I'm a big Mercer County homer, right? So I think one of the greatest shots ever was when Connor Sharp made that bank three.
I didn't really care for that. I tell people...
I love it when the Geese and the Eagles get it on a Friday night. Where I like, preferably, going over to Weathersfield to do games when the Eagles play over there because there's just, like, more of a – and I prefer the game being on Friday night because there's just a little more, like, energy on the line. I'm like, Parsons got his green shirt on today, man. We're going to go toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
So, and then same with the Titans in football, man. I love when the Eagles and Anawan Weathersfield Titans get together in football because that's always a little more energy, a little more on the line. So
anyway. Absolutely.
But awesome, man. I appreciate you really coming in today. I really enjoy the relationship, too, over the years.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for all you do for high school sports, buddy. This town doesn't know how lucky they are to have you, I'm sure. But you do a great job, buddy.
All right. We got to let Parsons get out of here. His wife's making him do yard work today over on his palatial estate in Kewaunee. We'll take a break, come back, and hear from Brian Roosh and wrap it up on a Saturday on the WMJ Sports Line.